Bibles, turn to the book of Acts chapter 17. I'm going to try and do something a little bit different. And I know what some of y'all are thinking. You're always trying to do something different, Ted. I was asking my wife, and I told a couple of y'all, what do you think I ought to preach about tonight? You know, this is Resurrection Sunday. And she said, I think you ought to preach about 10 minutes. You know, and I don't know that's because she's heard me so many times or what. We found out this past year from an old evangelist that's been in it for a while. I guess he's bumping 80 or something like that. And he said, all you need, brother, is 5 good sermons and a fast getaway car. Okay. Is that true?
I'm not sure that'd be accurate.
That's not accurate. Depends on if you're going to get a repeat meeting, I guess. Man, we had a great time with you guys yesterday and in junior church this morning. And we actually have, I'm looking at least one quiet prize winner. Oh, that got him up out of the coloring book. Yes, he's looking in the back row now. That's the boy, yes. And I know you're as surprised as I am that he won the quiet seat, but we didn't pick him. So I don't know if he bribed somebody with some candy or whatever. We had a great time this morning, especially yesterday. And I want to take and preach a sermon today, but I also want to weave in some things that I want to say about yesterday. Pastor would tell you that yesterday afternoon he and I were kind of texting back and forth. And, oh, bless you, my child. Yes, she's even got ice water in there. Now, we have visitors here from Iowa. They're probably not used to seeing something like that up on the pulpit. Y'all originally from Iowa. Where are you from? Lord help him. And what part of Georgia are you from? The bad part or the worst part? I mean, no. Where? Marietta? Marietta, Georgia. How about that? Is that where your lovely wife, Miss Margaret, is from?
She's actually from, she's in Yankees.
Praise the Lord.
From Virginia. Well, it's better than Long Island, New York, I'll tell you right now. Let me tell you something. I know that's a little levity, but one of the great benefits of being a child of God is we got a pretty good big family.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I have better times around my spiritual family than I do my birth family. Not that I don't like some of my birth family size. You know, my kids, you know, it's still all the same, but I have people on my daddy's side and mama's side, they don't know the Lord as Savior. And it's different. And, man, don't you like being around the people of God?
Amen.
Don't you like being around the things of God?
Amen.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you like being around the work of God? When my father got out of Bible college every once in a while, and he wasn't always a Baptist preacher. We don't have time to get into all of that. But he went to Baptist Bible College and got out and was pastoring church. And every once in a while, I'd hear him talking to his friends. And they'd be talking about it. He'd say, well, how's the work going there? And they would say, how's the work going where you are? And it was always, how's the work? How's the work? How's the work? I said, Daddy, why aren't y'all asking yourself, how's your church doing? He said, son, because if you knew what it was, it's a work.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in this life that comes easy.
Sure.
There's nothing good in this life that comes easy. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that is hurting our churches more than it's a lack of willingness to serve the Savior. And we need to get back to some basic things. And I saw some things yesterday that was really unique about the church. I can't tell you how much Joe and I appreciate being able to be a part of what you did yesterday. I know a lot of work went into it in preparation. And there must have been over 50. How many of your church people were there working yesterday? At least 40, I thought it was 50. It must have been because Jim was running around so quick, he counted as 3-4 different guys. But to pull that off, and don't tell me you weren't caught by surprise. Y'all should have had 10,000 eggs out there. And I like what Brother Phil said in Sunday school lesson this morning. I'm not a big fan of Easter egg hunts. We just had one over at my son's house with his three and their two cousins, and everybody's gone snowflake on us. And so every child has the same number of eggs, and the eggs are, they can only hunt the purple eggs, you can only hunt the green eggs. I have no idea about the origin of an egg hunt. But I know one thing. Yesterday, we were in the small group. That's the first time I've ever been knocked down and trampled by 2 3-year-olds. And there was everybody out to get their own. That's the American way. Trample over anybody you can get and get as much as you can. Right? We know that's not the meaning of this Sunday. This is Resurrection Sunday. The world says Easter. I grew up on it as Easter. I'm not trying to take any fun away from any of y'all that hunted eggs with your kids. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying don't dress your girls up in nice, pretty, frilly dresses and your boys with bow ties and stuff like that. I saw the cutest little boys with bow ties till I came into this church, and there's one big boy with a bow tie, and I thought, well, that's pretty interesting too. But yesterday, you used a worldly practice not to draw people necessarily into your church, although that would be good, but really to draw them to the gospel.
Sure.
And we're going to start reading in chapter 17, verse 16. Did I turn on my mic? Yes, it's on. It's got a red light on. And I want to talk about a time when Paul was having to get out of town in when he was up in Thessalonica and Berea and Philippi, and he had to get out of town because they were trying to kill him. And they sent him down to Athens, and I'm going to read from verse 16 down to 32. Now, I'm from Arkansas, but I still know that's a long ways to read. But I want you to read it with me. And I'm going to make a few comments about that, and I want to try and tie it in a little bit to the egg hunt thing that you got going on yesterday. Y'all ready? Are we ready? If y'all go to sleep on me, I'll go a long time. No. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. Remember, he always went to the Jews first. And with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Others, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And I want you to notice that word, resurrection. If you're in the habit of underlining your Bible, that might not be a bad word in this chapter for you to underline. Then it says in verse 19, and they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And when Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, he said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar unto the an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all things all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Now let me say, what I just read, starting in verse 24, 25, 26, and now in 27, let me say this. Paul was doing something. I just dropped my marker out of my Bible.
Bill.
When you hold it, hold the marker too. He was describing the attributes of God that all men need to know. And remember, he thought the whole place was given to idolatry. And these were worldly philosophers, and they were meeting on top of the Acropolis, which was a temple, and out beside the temple had monuments to all the Greek gods they could find, even one to an unknown god in case they missed him. So in the midst of an idolatrous people, in the middle of where their temple was, where their idol was worshipped, he gave the great descriptions of the character and the nature of God that was in opposition to everything they believed. Verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stones, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." If there was another word in this portion of Scripture that you ought to know, possibly even underline, is the word repent. And if you're really in the habit of marking your Bible, it wouldn't hurt for you to circle resurrection in verse 18, the last word of that verse, and repent in the last word of verse 30, and draw a line connecting the two. Because I'm going to tell you, if Jesus Christ is who he said he was in the verses that we pointed out, 24, 25, 26, and 27, if he is who Paul says he was, and if he is resurrected from the dead, there is nothing left for man unless he repents. Now I'm going to tell you that's important. Most people think those things are no longer important. "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness." If there's a third word that you need to underline in this chapter, it would be righteousness. You know, we live in an unrighteous, wicked world. Do you not agree? Okay. "By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about Jesus Christ. "And when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter." We will hear thee again of this matter. I'm going to tell you the great dividing line between the world and Christianity. What do you think of Jesus? Who was Jesus? You know that we have children's homes, and I might have talked some about coming back from the country of India. India is a Hindu nation. There's probably 80% of the population is Hindu. They say that may not be accurate because no matter what, if you identify your caste, they mark you down as Hindu, whether you really are or not. But I'm going to tell you this. I was over there and I saw it was during the time when they carried their gods to the river. And they would have probably four men, sometimes six men or more, carrying on their shoulders a little platform. And on top of that platform would be a god, and there'd be a little tapestry roof on the top of that. And there would be people out ahead, and they'd be blowing these flutes and banging on these cymbals and these drums. And then there would be other people following behind, and they would be chanting and clapping along. And it was a processional down to the river, and they were carrying that god to the river during this season. And then at the end of the season, they would take that god and they would take it back to the temple. And all of the gods were emptied out of all of the temples and carried in the place where we were this time of the year, to the water. And I thought to myself, how sad that these people are worshiping a god that can't even get himself to the river. And I wanted to say, if he's God, let him walk. But he can't. And you know, the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, when the Lord's talking about these things, you're worshiping gods that have eyes that see not, ears that hear not. That's who the world is worshiping.
Right.
Let me say something. I was born into a different United States of America than what exists today. By and large, I would say that America has now slipped over the edge into a pagan nation. And I know that's not startling news to some of y'all. Do you know how many people were there yesterday that had no idea that Easter had anything to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? One couple was there and they had twins. They had a little boy and a little girl. If y'all were in one of the groups, I think the last group, I gave them a prize for being twins, all the twins that were there. The mother was from India, and I got speaking with her. Now, she married a guy that's an American. Her parents were born in India. She was born in the United States. They moved her here. Her father's a very educated man. And we got talking about things. I had no idea whether or not I could get down to, are you Hindu? Do you know the Lord and Savior? It was while Joe was doing her story. But I know this, she heard the gospel yesterday. She might have been saved, I have no idea. She might be lost, she might still be lost, who knows? But I know the seed of the gospel was planted in her. And I know the thing that really came down, that really is the dividing point for any person, whether they're Hindu or not, is who do you believe Jesus is? Who do you believe he is? Well, I'm going to tell you who he is. Verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein. My God is a creator God. Look at the next. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. My God is all powerful. He is Lord of all. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Not only is God the creator, not only is he omnipotent and the Lord of all, my God is the sustainer of all and the giver of life to all. And there is nothing that God has ever done that is dependent on man. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. And my God has determined that all men before him are equal. Now you may not know this, but these Athenians thought they were a cut above. And I think they called themselves Attica. And they were of a special race. And that these other people were below them. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They were not above. They were not below. Everybody is the same in the sight of God. And Pastor talked about this yesterday some, and some of the rest of them. We didn't care who showed up at that event yesterday. I don't care if they were rich. I saw several Hispanic families around speaking a little Spanish. You know that we have some homes over there in Costa Rica and Panama and in Mexico. And I'm going to tell you, we love Hispanic people. But you want to know something? Hispanics need to hear the gospel. I pointed out to you that there was a girl there from India. You know what? They need to hear the gospel. And there were some people there, and they didn't have much money. You could tell they were just there for the eggs and what they could give their kids for free. And you want to know something? Poor people need the gospel. And there might have been some richer people there too, but I'm going to tell you something. I saw some nice cars, nicer than I had, but they too need the gospel. And the problem is there's some people there that never have heard the gospel. Now, I realize we live in Knoxville, Tennessee. I've heard it said that if there is anything such as the Bible Belt, Knoxville is the buckle on that belt. But their people in Knoxville, Tennessee, had no idea that Easter had anything to do with the resurrection. I would rather say Resurrection Sunday. I would rather see devout Christians show up at a sunrise service. I'd rather people just use that day to worship the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, we live in a pagan country that's wholly given to idolatry, and now we worship a stupid bunny more than we worship God.
Right.
We worship a man in a red suit more than what we worship God. And that is an affront to Almighty God. And I'm not trying to be down on everybody. I'm not preaching against your Christmas trees. You do what you want to do on that stuff. We are more about giving over. Do you know the second most expensive holiday as far as selling decorations now is second to Christmas is Halloween? We are pagan today. Paul goes through the city. He sees a city given wholly to idolatry. But he knew they had a need of Jesus Christ. And he did not compromise his message. And I'm going to say this too, lest there ever be any criticism of what this church did from some of our independent Baptist brethren who really have the higher standards, higher than you do. You had an egg hunt. There's going to be some people critical because you held an egg hunt. I'm going to tell you it's true. Folks, let me tell you something. Paul did not quote any scripture to these people. He actually quoted, the Bible says, their own poets. But he brought Bible truth. And yesterday, as best we knew how, I guarantee you, my wife gave the gospel. I'm talking about original sin. I'm talking about the death, the burial, the vicarious suffering of Jesus Christ and his resurrection with an offer of free pardon for all who believe. Because at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We need to remember resurrection is central to the gospel. We need to remember that repentance, a change of your ways, a willingness to turn from the way you were going to the way God wants you to go and where he's drawing you, that's essential. And the other thing is essential is righteousness. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. Folks, I'm in hundreds of churches. I don't want you to get the big head, but I'm going to say some things about you. Will you promise not to get the big head? Why are you grinning, brother? He's shaking his head no. I know y'all have made fun of me being from Arkansas, but I've seen more rednecks in this church this week than Georgia people. Didn't know, they didn't see that many rednecks the last time they were in Marietta. It'd be easy for me to put in a newsletter that we helped Crossroads Baptist Church with their egg hunt. Had 1,200 people there and saw 60-some-odd people saved. And by the way, I don't know what's in their hearts. I don't know. At least 5 adults raised their hand. A lot of the older kids raised their hand. Some of the younger ones did. But you know what? God can save young people too. And I'll tell you something else. You don't know who might have prayed that prayer and never lifted their hand saying they did. And you surely don't know what kind of seed was planting and what the result's going to be till eternity comes around. So we'll never know. But you know how people like me, we just like to put them nice newsletter figures out there. Makes everybody just, oh yes, and you're a supporting pastor. We got to treat supporting pastors different. and they want to hear their investments working. I can do all that stuff. But the truth of the matter is Joe and I just showed up. And it was the people of this church did that work. I said something to the men this morning in the foyer, and I knew that no visitors were around. I said, if I was a member of this church, I'd be reconsidering right now because your pastor just worked you to death here. How many of y'all, be honest, you felt like you've been worked to death over the last few weeks doing this thing? There's some of them women saying, if I had to stuff another egg, you better believe. Let me ask you a question. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Does it give you a glimpse of what can be done? I had people come up to me that know me, that goes to a mega church, and was surprised that this church put on something like that. And I didn't see their big mega church doing anything like that. I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of good that was done yesterday. My wife and I as we go and we do what we do, and some of y'all have seen, you know, with the ventriloquism, the gospel illusions and storytelling and stuff, when my wife's working with the kids, I don't want to go to a church because we're a part of a dog and pony show that's the next thing the church has never had. That's not what we're about. But I guarantee you, if it's a church that's wanting to see some people reached, we'll do anything that God has given us the talent and the ability to do to draw some kids into a church so a church can see some people saved and get some contacts and go out and follow up on them. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've thought long and hard about this hunt business. And I know there's a lot of the brethren would never do that. But also, those are the same churches that are sitting there. They're contained in their four walls. They have no desire to get outside those four walls and take the gospel to anyone. They're not concerned on getting on that van and picking up some kids on Sunday morning and sending them back there to a junior church where they can hear the gospel. They're not concerned with going out and knocking any of these doors. They're surely not concerned about putting on any big public event to get more exposure for the church and get the gospel out. You did well, and you are to be commended. And they could use a little time off. No. Don't count on it. How come I believe that? You hear them laughing? That ain't funny. They're tired. The resurrection. I'd like to close and leave you with this thought. It surely wasn't Ted that hauled all the stuff over there and set it up for Joe and gathered the crowd in and funned up a little bit with them. And even though I think that my wife did an excellent job, it wasn't what she was doing. It wasn't because of her. And for your pastor and his planning and vision to do this thing, and I know he's worked hard at it, and we even had a meeting as soon as we got back from Florida on it. I know it wasn't because of your pastor. And I know a lot of y'all put a lot of effort in prepping for this thing. And I have no idea what it cost this church to put that on, but it was a pretty penny, I'm sure. But it wasn't even you. What happened yesterday was God worked. God can do anything, and I'll tell you the reason why I know my God can do anything. The resurrection. That's where the power is. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth. The resurrection. Because of the resurrection, we can do anything through Christ. That's what strengthens us. Paul said, a great and effectual door is open. And then he went on to say, and there are many adversaries. Church is growing. You're getting exposure. You're seeing people saved. You're doing some good things. But I'd like to say this, two things. Number one, the resurrection is the power, not you or your pastor. And number two, there are many adversaries. Be on the lookout and don't let any of the adversaries, don't let them stop you from your work. There's a good song, "A Land of Rest for Thee I Sigh." When will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? We'll work till Jesus comes. Pastor, why don't you come?
I'm glad the Word of God.